What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan, brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We are making sense today of the Nationals making huge decisions, including, Danny, firing Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo.
Pretty profound. I mean, this is a directional change, right? Two guys have been there a long time. Rizzo especially, basically 2 decades. Davey Martinez shepherding this group through a lot of bad, but, you know, the pinnacle, of course, winning that World Series in 2019, the steady hand at the front during a 1931 start, doesn't change, stays the same, even keel every day, positive, undying support for his guys. They rally, go on one of the great runs in history. Nationals parade, man, as a result of that. The two guys, the architects of that, gone.
All right, let's get to the Beltway Blitz and start you off on the diamond. Our own Byron Kerr here at The Fan writes at MLB.com, and I often see him over in the press box at the ballpark. Byron, you've been around this team for many years. What did you make of the decision?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it was a long time coming with what has happened with this club, as you guys just talked about, since 2021, you know, 90-plus losses every single year. And, you know, listening to the way that Davey Martinez was talking, you know, he's working very hard, obviously, to help these guys out and get them to where they need to be. But, you know, covering the Boston Red Sox and covering the Detroit Tigers the last week or so, you could see how much more talent these other teams have when they come in to face the Nationals. Somehow they were able to win 2 out of 3 against the Tigers, who just went and swept the Guardians, and then they lost to Boston. But it just really seemed like, even in that last game when they made it 6-4, that was as close as they got. But they were not competitive. I mean, the Tigers were putting out pretty much a second team in the doubleheader, and they were still way better than anything the Nationals could put out there. So it's just, you can see how other teams are surpassing them and how far the Nationals have to go. And even with sensational guys like C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and James Wood, you know, really kind of the leaders for years to come, they still have a long ways to go, and it feels like it's been that way for a long time. So the easiest way to fix things is to get rid of the manager. Maybe a lot of people didn't think the general manager would also be relieved, but, you know, it's time for an absolute new direction, and hopefully Mark Lerner will do that with this team.
What sort of direction is needed? Not asking a certain name of names off the top of your head, BK, but just sort of thinking out loud. Do they need a taskmaster disciplinarian at managers so nobody gets picked off anymore? Do they need an MIT super brain at GM? Just what's needed right now for that new direction, do you think?
Well, they need players. You know, I don't think it's the manager that's going to really be able to change things overnight. You know, he's had to kind of teach her what they had on the field. But, you know, he has been, you know, almost like a father figure to a lot of these guys. And maybe they need someone that's going to be kicking them in the butt a little bit more. You don't hear a lot of screaming and yelling. You don't hear a lot of chairs being thrown, tables being overturned. You know, it just kind of seems like it was a little bit on cruise control. And they really need a shakeup. So maybe they do need someone that's going to come in with a reputation like a Joe Girardi or something like that, who has that kind of reputation, a Joe Madden, of you know, not putting up with any BS. And even if we're not having nine All-Stars go out there every single day, I still want you to play to that level. And, you know, maybe it's a wake-up call for the players as well, and to get a manager like that who will shake things up.
The decision was made today that Mikel Cairo is going to be the acting manager. He'll be the interim for the remainder of the season. What do you make of turning to Davey's top bench boss?
Yeah, I mean, he has the experience, as you know, Grant. He's done it before. He's been in the situation with the White Sox. He played for 17 years. He's been, you know, as a manager or a coach for so many seasons. So he's got a ton of experience. I think it's a good choice. I was kind of pining, as you probably saw, an X for Matt Lecroy. He would also be an excellent choice. But, you know, with where they are in the season, with someone who the players have seen every single day and they already trust and know him, he's a good choice. He has experience. He'll be able to make sure that they stay on the right track for the rest of the season. I think it's a smart move by the Nationals to keep it with a guy that's already with the club for the final few months, you know, and see if they can play 500 baseball here and feel good about themselves as they get ready for 26.
And then similarly, in terms of looking at replacements, Mike DiBartolo fills in for Rizzo the rest of the way. I'm sure you've crossed paths with him in your years around the ball club. Just your thoughts on him getting a long-awaited opportunity. He's done some good work for a long time in the shadows. And also, what kind of chance would he have to maybe be the long-term guy?
Yeah, you know, like you have said, he's got less than 6 days before the draft. And, you know, at 1-1, they can't really make too much of a mistake, I don't believe, with that first pick. It just depends on what they do the rest of the way. So it's really an enviable position for any GM, even if he is the interim. And obviously he's grown up as well from an intern all the way up. He has the intelligence and, you know, the acumen to be able to pull off this job. And I think he's going to do a great job and be able to kind of showcase what he can do. Can his touch be shown in this draft that's only 6 days away? Maybe not. But, you know, he's got an excellent opportunity. I like what I saw from Craig Breslow. You know, he was in town, the chief baseball officer for the Red Sox. He's got a Yale background. DiBartolo's got a Columbia background. I mean, you know, this is the wave of the future. It would really be nice for me. You know, I heard you talk to Jeff Passanot. You know, let's get a little more analytical. Let's get our departments to the cutting edge in the next few years and not just dabble in it, because, you know, already we've fallen behind the rest of Major League Baseball. Maybe that kind of academic look at baseball could help this team and try to put these players in the right places, try to get guys, you know, on the 25, 27 man from an analytical standpoint that can help this team get better. So, yeah, he's got a great chance. You know, the learners like to promote from within, and we'll get to see what he can do here in the next few months.
BK, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
You guys, anytime. Thank you.
See you later, my friend. Hit that Wizards sounder. A little bit lost in the sauce, but the Wizards made a move. We bring on our buddy Bijan Todd, Monumental Sports Network. Cam Whitmore is now a Wizard, Odenton, Maryland's own. What can you tell us about their new acquisition?
Yeah, guys, Cam Whitmore is an exciting pickup for the Wizards. Ultra-athletic wing who didn't really get a chance to shine in Houston just because of the fact that, you know, playing time in general was hard to come by on that team that ended up finishing second in the West. Can score at three levels, a very good outside shooter, shoots above 35% from deep, so should give the Wizards an exciting scoring option, and he's going to have more of a chance to shine in D.C. when he gets here, so it's an exciting option.
Bijan, I love what they're doing with this roster. You look back to 2023, they had two guys under 22 years old, Isaiah Todd and Johnny Davis. And now they've got Trey Johnson, Bub Carrington, Will Riley, Bilal Coulibaly, Cam Whitmore, A.J. Johnson, Alex Saar, Kashawn George, and Jalen Martin, all between 19 and 21 years old. It seems like they're just throwing as many of these young, talented kids at the wall as possible to see what sticks.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Eric DaCosta method, right? Like when he said that, like, that's what you have to do in the NFL. You just kind of, like, take as many shots as you can and see what happens. That's what the Wizards are doing. You hit the nail on the head there, Grant. And I think it's a good tactic. I mean, that's what a lot of teams have done to build with their young core. That's what the Celtics did, who just won a title last year. And, you know, the Pacers did the right thing. They never tanked, and they ended up doing the same thing with drafting and good trades. And so it'll be interesting to see how it works out for the Wizards. But a young movement is good. You just have to be aware of that second apron, because that comes to haunt a lot of teams. So if these guys all have to get paid at the same time in a few years, then it might start to get a little murky. But right now, I'm right there with you. The youth movement is definitely in full swing.
What's fair to expect's not exactly the right word, but what are some of the mile markers, the metrics, the milestones, sort of things that we're looking at here with these young players? Guys like Koulibaly now entering year three. You know, guys like Sarr in his second full campaign after, you know, playing so much in year number one, et cetera, with some of these young guys. Again, I'm not ready to start judging on wins and losses just yet. Some fans might be. That's their prerogative. But for me, I'm going, all right, how do I judge success for this young group this coming season?
No, that's a great question, Danny. And I think the most interesting player in this whole conversation for me is Bub Carrington, because now that Jordan Poole is no longer on the team,
right,
the amount of time that Bub is going to have the ball in his hands and run the offense is probably going to be like double, triple what it was last year, right? And that's a lot of pressure for a kid who's just about 19, 20 years old. He's going to have to run the offense, and it'll be interesting to see how he deals with that responsibility. For Bilal, I think it's also interesting. He's going into year three, so for me, he has to start showing that he can make plays for himself and for others on the ball. He said that he's worked on it the last couple summers, and this year, I think with him still growing, it'll be interesting to see if he can continue to do that. And then with Sarr, you know, he needs to become that lockdown defender that he showed glimpses of in his rookie season. He got beat a couple times by a couple of the beefier centers in the league, but if he can become that rim protection guy that everybody hopes he will be, I think that'll be a really good step in the right direction for him. But for all these guys, the opportunity is going to be there, and it's a crowded young room, like you mentioned. But if they can seize the opportunity, then the future for this team is looking a lot brighter for sure.
They have a pick that's protected if they finish in the bottom six next year, right?
Bottom eight, yeah.
Bottom eight, okay. I guess my question is, that there's no risk of that. I mean, they're too smart to allow that to happen, I would think. And also, this year's draft class was better than last year's. Next year's is supposed to be unbelievable. I've kind of been told to assume they're going to be really bad again on purpose to try to get another draft's worth of, like they just did, you know, assets. Is that still the plan, or do you think they could accidentally mess around and, I don't mean a playoff team, but like be competitive enough where they could lose that pick?
I would not be worried about it, Grant. I think this team is going to be in that mix for the bottom eight, and I think that's what they're still gunning for, because, you know, like you mentioned, anything could happen with the lottery. So even if they finished with like the fourth worst record and get the ninth pick, then that pick still gets conveyed to the Knicks. But if the lottery works out in their favor, unlike it did last year, then they're going to retain that pick. And I think the team is going to be slightly more competitive. I don't think they're going to be bottoming out and being like the worst team in the league like they were the last two seasons, but I would not be worried about them losing that bottom eight protected pick. And Will Dawkins has been asked about that multiple times, like, hey, how competitive are you guys trying to be when you're kind of, you have like one hand tied behind your back with this bottom eight protected pick? And he's kind of dodged the question. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he gets more firm about that this year. But I would assume the team would be bad enough to retain that pick, but not good enough to merit any sort of play-in consideration. But they'll win more than 20 games this year would be my prediction. But that top eight protection is not going anywhere, I would assume.
Bijan, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys. You too.
We'll see you, dude. Hit that local 53 sounder. So what do we got here, GP? We got the president weighing in on something? What do you think?
I love this. Danny's like, I'm throwing it to you to throw to the audience.
Yeah, I want to see what you're doing here.
What do you mean what I'm doing here?
I'm just curious. I'm just curious. What to say.
I think you know what we're doing here.
I think I know.
I could do it if you'd like.
All right.
The president of the United States, Donald Trump, was asked today about the Commanders Stadium, and this is not something that I ever anticipated doing. But, Darius, if you have the Trump audio talking about...
By the way, say that sentence real quick.
Very weird, but he is the president, and this was him talking about the Commanders Stadium.
Well, we see what happens. I've been looking at the deal, and, you know, I don't blame them. They have to, it's a very important piece of property. It's a great piece of property, so we'll see. But if I can help them out, I will. You know, ultimately, we control that. The federal government ultimately controls it, so we'll see what happens. I saw the plans. I saw the stadium. The owner's very, very successful and a very good man. I know him a little bit. And it would be a great place for the NFL to be there, I can tell you that. So if they want to negotiate a little tough, that's okay with me.
So we talked about this a few weeks ago with the Commanders and the stadium deal. There is a possibility of a fight here where the federal government could get back involved and maybe the team could try to bypass the D.C. City Council because, as he just said, as Trump said, they still have... That land is theirs.
I don't
understand that exactly.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. Because I don't quite get the machinations there.
The land has been given back to D.C., But I guess until something is done with it, they still have the ability to strong-arm their way into having some sway over this. But this was floated by reporters. Mark Seagraves of NBC4 has talked about this. Eric Flack of Channel 9 on our show suggested there is a possible workaround for the Commanders where they could go back to the federal government and get a deal done perhaps without the city council, with just the mayor and the federal government working together. So very, very odd, like bedfellows there, if that's how it worked
out.
Very
strange, yeah.
With Mayor Bowser and Donald Trump and Josh Harris all posing for a, you know, ribbon cutting or something. But
we've already had one of them in the White House where it's like, these are some of the most wonderful people. And it's just the mayor, the owner of the team. Like, what world is this?
It's weird because I thought
all of it.
The next time we'd throw the Trump audio would be like you talking about Terry McLaurin's contract.
Well, he's not signed, you see, because they need to sign him. They're doing such a point. What are they waiting for? He's such a good. He's Mr. Commander, which is a terrible name, by the way. They should never have changed it, believe me. But we're going to talk about Terry. He's their little Terry. He's their perfect receiver. He's
Who's
so
his
bad.
Favorite player on the team? It wouldn't be Terry.
No, I love Bobby Wagner. He's a leader because he's played for so many people. He's been in many cities. But he's here now, and he's doing so well. All-Pro. Many people know. He was an All-Pro. He did so well as an All-Pro person.
That audio, man. Didn't see it coming today.
Just jet plane in the background talking about the local 53 in a stadium. I mean, this job, dude, it's amazing. Like, think about how many things you never thought you would hear about. Like, well, what sort of board had to be checked?
Also, only here. Only right. The Commanders. Is the president talking about your stadium deal?
It's like such good property. It's very, I know real estate very well.
Such Grant good property. And Danny on the Fan.
It's a good show.
Blame Pyatt next. Ownership, baseball ops. Who's got a bigger piece of pie for how we got to where we are? This is the Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In 35 minutes, Jim Duquette, a former general manager of the Orioles and the Mets, will be with us on Grant and Danny to discuss the Nats firing Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez yesterday. Danny, I want to go blame pie here. I'm looking for a two-piece pie.
Okay.
How we divvying this thing up? Ownership or baseball operations? For the Nationals having had the second worst record in the sport to the Colorado Rockies over the last several years, for their failure at the major league level, and to some extent, I guess, even for their failures at the minor league level with player development and with the draft, where it doesn't seem like they spend and keep up with the Benjamins. As we found out this week, they are without one of the key pieces of technology and development of hitting that some teams have had for 5 years. We'll open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. And we could tweet this out at 1067 The Fan as well. But what percentage of the issue do you pin on ownership's lack of spending? And what percent are you pinning on baseball operations?
90-10 for me. So the failings of the baseball ops folks, they're obvious. Everyone could see them, right? Like you drafted the wrong player when it was Seth Romero. You drafted the wrong player with Mason Denenberg and Carter Kieburn. We know the list. Your players didn't improve enough to come up and help the major league club. That happened for a long time. Had they hit on almost all of those guys, a normal league-wide, league average percentage where, you know, first-round picks, second-round picks, guys hit or miss all the time. Arm injuries happen. Players don't fulfill potential. Had they hit on a huge percentage, still a losing organization, given the constraints. Given that they didn't do the total overhaul. If you're going to be a low-budget team, you got to be that, right? You can't be both, where you walk both lines. Or you walk in the middle of one side or the other. Meaning, if you're going to be a team that's thrifty and smart, you spend the $10 million on all the technology to get the most out of your players instead of trying to spend $50 at the major league level on a player that's already established. And they didn't do that. So this, to me, is an ownership organizational problem, and these are some of the symptoms. So, yeah, the failings are there. I totally see them, and it's obvious. But my point is, had they hit a huge percentage of some of these moves, again, if Colin Poche was good and still pitching here, you're still a losing team. Maybe it's the third worst record in the National League, not the second worst behind the Rockies.
To me, here's the big problem. You have basically been spinning your wheels very close to winning for the last couple of off seasons, and you have done nothing to push yourself over the top. They are, right now, maddeningly and frustratingly close. You wouldn't see it or know it by looking at the last few weeks where they're in this awful rut. But go back to when they were 2 under .500 going into the start of June, when they were within a couple of games of the wild card. And they were in the exact same boat right then as they were coming into the year. It looks like C.J. Abrams is a stud. It looks like James Wood is a superstar. It looks like when Dylan Cruz is back and healthy, he's going to be a really good, helpful player for a long time. It looks like Mackenzie Gore is that dude, whether it's Jake Irvin or Mitchell Parker internally. It looks like you've got the workings of a decent rotation, even in a year where you lost Josiah Gray to injury and DJ Hurst to injury and you haven't had the depth that is necessary. And it's not to say that they did a perfect job. They did far from it. I don't even know that they did a great job. I said this offseason, in fact, they did a bad job with the money that they spent. I don't know how Trevor Williams got a two-year deal. That's asinine to me. I don't really know why they spent the $6 million they did on Josh Bell. That didn't work. You just went through the bullpen issues, which are problematic and awful. I was leaning 90-10. You went there, so I guess to mix it up, I'll go 85-15. But all it would have taken is a small commitment, and we're talking about a team at 500 right now that's in the wild card mix, and it's a very different conversation in this town about this team. Because now you've got a 500 team that might be able to add at the deadline and bring in a couple reinforcements in the bullpen, and the center of the universe, the sun is Wood and Abrams and Cruz when he gets healthy and comes back, and you're ascending, and the flight is about to take off. Instead, the opposite happened, where yet again, you did not help. You didn't add anything. I think about this like a scene out of a movie where there's a fight. You don't know the Newsies, right?
No.
The paper boys that sang and passed out papers?
No.
Okay, well, I'll just help you.
Okay.
So there's a scene. No, I'll do one you like better. I watched The Patriot on the 4th of July.
Here we go.
All right, Mel Gibson.
Sure.
Benjamin Martin. You have any file on this?
I know about Benjamin Martin, yeah.
So there's a scene where basically they're going to let the militia take on the Redcoats. Okay, and the militia is going to be the first line of defense. And they're going, you guys are going to get wiped out. We can't let you take on General Cornwallis and his group. And he's like, but he knows that too. And so they're going to get overzealous. They're going to try to come attack us. And then that's when you guys come and save our bacon, right? The James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Dylan Cruz, Dalen Lyle, Brady House, whatever this is.
Like, that's the militia?
They're the militia.
There we go.
And they're scratching, and they're clawing, and they're fighting, and James Wood's killing some dudes. I mean, they're taking out some redcoats, and they're putting up a good fight here. But eventually, they're going to get got. There's not enough talent. And that's when they turn around right as they're about to just get swarmed over by the British. And they look back, and here comes all of the army. You see what I'm saying? Here comes Christian Walker at first. Here comes Michael King in the rotation. Here comes Kyle Tucker in the outfield. And you didn't give me my reinforcements. You didn't. And I'm dying in the field because the militia's getting killed.
I'm getting bayoneted over here by the Marlins.
All I needed was a G.D. dollar spent. And you couldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
And so therein lies the problem.
Yeah, that's the fundamental struggle. Nobody cared about the draft pick struggles. No one cared that, you know, Jake Johansson and Andrew Stevenson didn't turn into stars because there was some supplement, right? Like, we'll go get Adam Eaton. We'll go get, Denard Span in center field. We'll be able to make some moves. When that dries up, now we're going, can you believe they missed on Jackson Rutledge? That happens. Now, it happened a little too often here, and we should call that out, and we
too
will.
Too often, yes.
I would say that. It happened too often here. But, like, that's the normal course of doing business, that not every draft picks what the Dodgers get, where they have some sort of magic formula. You know, where every guy, every time they pick some chooch, he turns out to be the next major league star. But
they have enough. Like, so sorry to cut you off, but let me just say it, and I want to see if you agree with this before I forget. To me, they have enough of the young talent that if you spent the money, now you're a good baseball team.
Yeah.
How you get the talent, like, you're supposed to draft it. You're supposed to develop it. They just took a shortcut. They had this freaking golden ticket in Juan Soto, and they traded him for what is 7 years worth of awesome drafts and development, which is three all-star players already, with Hassel who's going to be good and maybe Susana who's going to be good. They took a gigantic shortcut. Everyone else has to wade through 900 feet of muddy, grossness, water, Andy Dufresne crap. They just said, let's get on a jet ski and just meet them over there.
Let's go right over there.
Let's go there. And they did it. So we could kill the drafts. That's fine. They weren't good enough. We could kill the development. That's fine. They actually have gotten to a point where their core is as good as the teams that draft and develop. It would be better if they did that, but they did it anyway. Now, where's the good players with the money? And that's the part that is missing here.
Yeah, so the teams that do it without money at all have a great shooting percentage on draft and develop. You have to. You have no other choice. And so, again, that to me is an ownership situation where if you spent every dollar you could on that phase of it, on the draft, scouting, development, all the latest pressure plate, this and video, that, and Cybertronic, this, that, and the other thing. If you've done all those things to maximize your cheap options, that $10 million spent turns into Major League Baseball players making the bare minimum, the league minimum before arbitration for a handful of years before they become too expensive for you and you trade them away or let them go or whatever. If you were doing that and then this front office, as constructed, was failing at that high enough degree, you'd go, even with the best tools for cost-effective player development, you're screwing up. You need to be held to the standard. You should be fired for that. I would get that. That's not what happened. That is not what happened. And again, the misses are there. I'm very aware of it. And if that was enough to fire the GM and architect who corrected a lot of misses, who glossed over warts, who covered for you in public for a long time. I've had every means I've wanted to. Anything we've wanted to be able to do as a front office, I've been able to do, said Mike Rizzo 50 billion times whenever publicly asked about it. No, he didn't. He was covering for you. Again, I go back to the same thing. What was the standard? What's the metric for success? And how short were they and when were they short? Like, that's what I need to know.
Let's go to John, who's in Herndon, home of the Hornets, wants to weigh in on Grant and Danny. John, thank you for the call. What's your blame pie? The ownership's lack of spending versus the baseball operations staff not being good enough?
Well, before I give the percentage, thanks for letting me on again, guys. Before I give the percentage, I want to name two teams that are the benchmarks, the Cincinnati Reds and the Washington Commanders. And the reason I'm saying 75-25, ownership is 75, is that Cincinnati is a small market team. KC is a small market team. But as Danny said, if you have a commitment to spend the money to build the farm and hire the scouts, and yeah, you're going to let the big multi-year contracts go and they mature, fine. But they didn't. The learners have been cheap in a market that's not Cincinnati. Washington is as good a major metro as any market. And then the 25 is a little bit of the Commanders. I think, you know, when I use them as a benchmark, then you have an ownership that has now come in doing all the right things. Dan Quinn, I'm not suggesting at all that the coaching staff is at risk, but Rizzo has been there too long covering them. We need change. That's my
appreciate
speech.
You.
Thank you, buddy.
I don't dislike the Reds comp in the sense of what it could look like in a world where they're small market and they've got to operate and win anyway, because that's what the Reds are. You know, that's a payroll when you look at it, where they don't have guys making, aside from one player who got a qualifying offer, like more than $10, $11 million. They rely on their young up-and-coming players and their stars and drafting Chase Burns at the top of the draft or Rhett Lauder in the past. Or the system has to turn out the L.A. De La Cruz's for them to compete. I like that as a comp just fine. That works for me. I would tell you, though, that the difference between them and the Nats before the last 6 weeks was like four games. That's basically what they were. The Reds are a little better version than Washington. Neither of them is going anywhere anytime soon, though.
Right.
The Reds are not at risk of competing in the postseason, or I would even say, frankly, you know, making the postseason. They're about three out of the wild card. That's where the Nats were when this skid started. They were within four or five games of the Reds. So I don't think, it sounds crazy to say today, I don't think the Nats and the Reds are that different, I guess, is my point. In the grand scheme of a 162, albeit the last 6 weeks where it seems like some of the guys checked out and maybe whether it was Davey lost them or whatever's gone on, It's a very different team. But they played above 500 baseball for two-plus months. They basically had the Reds' record from the first week of the season until the start of, you know, this stretch at the early part of June.
Yeah, the comp that I think of, if you're going to be thrifty, and by the way, that's not a given to me. That you shouldn't be thrifty at all. That is always needs to be reminded. But if you are, which again I disagree with, Cleveland to me is the comp. Now, this year's not going great. I think they're 8 or 9 under 500. But this is an ALCS playoff team. They've been to a World Series in the last handful of years, right? I mean, they are consistently pretty good, making frustrating decisions to maybe not get over the top, but they're smartly run, have had way more success, built around a couple really good players, and you kind of fill in the rest with really good development and cost-effective moves and measures. That, to me, isn't out of reach. That shouldn't be out of reach, even if you're going this route where you don't have to go.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We're talking to you about the blame pie here. What percent do you put on ownership as opposed to baseball ops? How did we get here? And why did Mike Rizzo lose his job yesterday in terms of what he controls, the parts that he didn't do well enough? What cost him his job? We're Grant and Danny.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Danny and I were spending the commercial break comparing the white in our beards. It's fun, isn't it?
No. It blows.
Jim Duquette, former GM in the big leagues, stops by in less than 15 minutes. Getting your reactions to the news of the weekend, the Nationals firing President Baseball Ops General Manager Mike Rizzo and skipper Davey Martinez. You wouldn't know it, but James Wood became an All-Star last evening.
Isn't that funny?
And so did Mackenzie Gore. They will both be in Atlanta. Talk about getting buried in the news cycle by the Nats, who blew out their longtime team GM dating back to 2009. He'd been with the team since 2007. What percent do you blame on ownership's lack of spending as opposed to the baseball ops department? Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So I think this first, I don't have a hard take where it's like absolutely the ownership's fault, absolutely Rizzo, whatever. I'm more straddling the fence. I'd say 70-30. Rizzo was definitely hamstrung, compromised by the ownership's unwillingness, not even to spend, but to even give him a real commitment to what his spending could be. I think going into each offseason, it was difficult for him to even say, what they could afford. However, multiple things can be true. The ownership can be cheap or whatever you'd like, whatever word you'd like to use. But you could also say that it's true that Rizzo has not made the best decisions. The farm has not been particularly fruitful until recently. And also that Davey's act and management style got really old, and he probably overstayed his welcome. I think all of those things can be true. Mm-hmm. And I think that, look, this is a professional business. Rizzo was the third longest tenured GM in baseball.
I had him at second behind Cashman. Who am I missing?
There's one other guy I looked up recently who got hired in 2007. But either way,
maybe Mozeliak, but he's got a different role now. But maybe that's
right.
What it is.
So, I mean, Rizzo had 19 years and 20-plus years in the organization. That's a hell of a run. I don't think that he's owed any more than that. And, same thing with Davey. You know, Davey's been riding 2019 for quite some time and without not a lot to show for it. I think a change was necessary, but it can also be true that the ownership is not great.
Yeah, well, that's
thank you, Chris.
Been the case for the last several years, clearly. Yeah, and I think that's the point we made in dissecting this thing for the first hour plus of the show, is that all of those things are true, and there are a lot of layers to this onion. There's, I think, unequivocally room to say that ownership's got to change and that it was within reason to fire Davey Martinez, who I would have fired during the Rocky series, and that it was absolutely not unreasonable to fire Mike Rizzo. I think the timing a week before the draft is silly and makes me worry about dysfunction. But if they came to the realization with Rizzo, like they did with Davey, who had, on July 15th, had a $2.5 million option for next year to be picked up, and they said they're not picking it up 8 days before that, then they fired him so that he wasn't a lame duck the rest of the year. It is possible the same thing was happening with Mike Rizzo. Perhaps Rizzo, I haven't been able to confirm this, but had an option needing to be picked up this month. I know he has a $4 million option for next year from what I was told. I would have assumed that that either gets picked up or it doesn't at the end of the year. But if it was early July, if it was this week, if it was next week, and they decided they weren't picking up his option, then you need to have him be a lame duck GM running your draft, running your trade deadline, knowing he's not going to be in charge of the team next year, which doesn't work. And that's why I've been trying to confirm when that option actually was for Rizzo. I know Davies was July 15th, because that would at least explain the timing.
Right.
But you can explain all of this away, fine enough. I guess my point is, I'm less interested in the dissection of the issues of the baseball department before we satisfy the larger conversation. And that's where I always come back to ownership. Because if you bring in my guy, Eric Neander, the one seed of all the options in baseball from the Tampa Bay Rays, as Jeff Passan floated, they should try to do, he'll be a huge upgrade. There's no doubt in my mind. He ain't going to be Eric Neander from Tampa Bay. You know, and they're not like they've won anything, oh, by the way, but he's done a hell of a job winning with very little. He builds a really good front office around him, a good culture, a good minor league system, a good big league team. And every year you're going to have bites at the apple and opportunities to compete in a really tough division. That will happen. But you'll get a worse version of him if you don't get changes at the most important level. Tom's in Alexandria. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. As I've been sitting here in traffic stewing on this topic, I originally told Linnell that I was leaning toward 95% at the ownership group, but after sitting in my car and being cut off a few times, I think I'm going to put 100% of the blame on ownership, because if you think about it, all of their decisions from 2019 have hampered Rizzo and Davey Martinez to, you know, construct this roster the way that it needs to get done. Second, they don't spend any money. What you guys mentioned it earlier, they've gotten, what, one deal done with Scott Boras, and then nothing else with anybody else? Like, how do you compete and build a winner with that type of ineptitude in your front office? And that has that trickle-down effect into all of your other aspects of baseball operations, down all the way into your minor league, where teams, you know, have hitting machines that, like, we don't even have that they've had for 5 years. So, like, the more I think about it, this ownership group has really, really let down the fans in this area to the point that I don't even root for the Nationals anymore. It's unfortunate, and I hope they sell soon. Thank you.
Appreciate you, dude.
It's possible. I don't think it's likely. It feels to me like we're in a holding pattern until after this CBA deal works itself out. There seems like an imminent work stoppage. You know, if and when they work out the CBA after next season, it would make it more likely to be able to sell a team. I think it's hard to buy a
ask a prospective buyer to go, hey, here's this huge uncertainty where you're not sure when you're getting any of your money back.
Yeah, you might miss a quarter of a season or half a season's worth of your revenue, but buy the team anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really hard. And by the way, that's under the working assumption that they're still trying and actively want to sell the team.
Right.
All the family doesn't want to. Some of the family does. But they may, right now, have decided for the moment they're not selling the team. I'm just saying if they wanted to, I think it'd be really hard to do right now.
Yeah, it's like buying a house that you can't move into, but the mortgage is still due, you know?
Jim Duquette was a GM for the Orioles, and the Mets want to ask him about this change. And I want to get some names of some other prospective GM options around baseball with him. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.